Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. This is Michael Marat. This is our third study in the book of Psalms. And today we come to Psalm number 9. We will begin our study in verse 13. And we will go through Psalm 14. Psalm 9, beginning in verse 13. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we are about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 9:13. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me, you who lift me up from the gates of death. He asks for mercy. If God delivers us from any trouble, it is only because he has mercy on us. That's because as sinners, we don't really deserve any kind of deliverance from any kind of trouble at all. As sinners, anything better than hell is a product of God's mercy. 14. That I may tell of all your praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in your salvation. And that's one thing that a Christian can always do. No matter what else we may or may not ever have as a Christian, we have the big thing. We have salvation. If God never gives me anything else that I ever ask for, I can be grateful that I will not burn in hell. 15. The nations have sunk down in the pit which they made, in the net which they hid, their own foot is caught. Any nation that neglects God can blame themselves for their high taxes, their high crime rate, for the violence in their schools, and for many of their diseases. 16. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own the work of his own hands. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. You can tell a lot about God by his attitude toward sin. No one in eternity will be able to say, well, I didn't know that God didn't like this or didn't like that. God is known by the judgment he executes. All you got to do is look at his attitude towards sin in the past, in the Word of God, and you will see what he likes and what he doesn't like. 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. As a nation, for 40 years, our country has been willfully forgetting God. No, not every person in our country, but as a nation, God is being systematically banned in many ways. Now, we can do that if we want to, because we have a free will. We can do that. God will let us. But we should never forget that God is still God, and he will not be mocked. And bit by bit, we will crumble until we have been turned into the grave, into hell, as a nation. 18. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Righteous people must often wait for things to be done the right way, but their wait will not be in vain. It'll be the way it should be someday. The needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. 19. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Ungodly people talk smart about God and about eternity, and they think they're so tough. But on the day God pronounces judgment, He will quickly cut through all of their pretensions, and they will know that they are just men. And they should not have talked so big. Psalm 10, verse 1. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? God knows everything, and God can do anything. That's why David, and David knows that, and that's why David, who's going through such hard times, and nothing seems to be getting better, comes to the conclusion that God left town. He feels like God has bailed out on him. 2. The wicked, notice, the wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. Anyone who would abuse a poor person, a vulnerable person, or would use their authority to pick on someone, that person is wicked in the sight of God. 3. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. A saved person sins, but a saved person is ashamed of their sin. On the other hand, a wicked person brags about their sin. They rejoice in sin, and they rejoice in sinners. They think it's entertaining. And in the process, they are renouncing God. you probably can never get them to admit that they're renouncing God, but they are. 4. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. God is omnipresent. That's one of the attributes of God. He is omnipresent, meaning he is everywhere at the same time. There is only one place in all of creation where God is not, and that is in the mind of the wicked. Bible says that the wicked person excludes God from all his thoughts. 5. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them. The enemy of a wicked person is anyone who would tell him that he is wrong. Tell an evil person that they are evil, and you will get resentment. You will get sneering. 6. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. In other words, wicked people have a false sense of security. But time marches on, and eventually judgment day comes. 7. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit. Eventually, a wicked heart spills out from the person's mouth in the form of words. Pay attention to the so-called slips of the tongue that occur when a person lets down their guard. Often those slips reveal the true heart of a person. 8. He sits in the lurking places in the villages. in the secret places. He murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws him into his net. Notice the double life of the wicked person, sneaking around, having to hide what they are doing or trying to do. You know, at least when you live for God, you can be open. You do not have to sneak around like a coward. 10. So he crouches. He lies low, that the helpless may fall by his strength. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see. Yeah, in your dreams. The wicked hopes that God doesn't care about his sin. And he wants God not to care about his sin. In fact, he wants that so bad that he talks his twisted little mind into believing that it's really true. He lives in non-reality. But someday, whether he believes it or not, reality will come crashing down on him. 12. When he avenges blood, he remembers them. Whoops, I'm sorry, wrong chapter. So he crouches. Let's go to verse 12. Verse 12 of Psalm 10. Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the humble. Why do the wicked renounce God? He has said in his heart, you will not require an account. That's a real good question. Why do the wicked renounce God? Why would anyone renounce God? Why would anyone give God Almighty the cold shoulder? Doesn't make sense. He hasn't done anything wrong. 14. But you have seen, for you observe trouble and grief to repay it by your hand. The helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness until you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations have perished out of his land. You know that the earth is God's land? Every square inch of this planet is God's land. And the wicked will eventually perish off of his land. The thing that's amazing to me is that God allows evil people to stay on his land for as long as he does. How long would you let someone stay in your house if they did not abide by the rules of decency that you live by? I sure wouldn't. I won't let them stay. 17. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more. Bible says in verse 17 that God will cause his ear to hear. God causes his ear to hear. Listening takes effort. And God is careful to work at listening to you when you pray to him. He causes his ear to hear your prayers. Psalm 11, verse 1. In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? David will run if it is what God wants him to do, and sometimes it is. But David will not run away when it is clear to him that God wants him to stay put, hang in there, and trust him. 2. For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? When God's word is ignored in a nation, or in a person's life, doesn't matter, whichever. When God's word is ignored, then the foundation of that nation or the foundation of that person's life will begin to crumble. That is, there's going to be confusion and there's going to be trouble. Because you can't build anything worth having unless you have a good foundation under it. 4. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids test the sons of men. Always remember that. God's throne is in heaven. He sits on His throne. No matter how lousy things may get, remember, God is still on His throne. He is still in charge. Just grab hold of God through the Word of God and through prayer and hang on. Because no matter how long it takes, He'll get you through it. 5. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. The Lord tests the righteous. God allows His people to go through bad in order to test their faith. Yes, sometimes it is God's will for His people to experience bad. Not just here. The Bible teaches that in the New Testament too. Tough times strengthen faith if we turn to God during those tough times. No one really becomes a strong, mature Christian unless they are forced to trust in God through difficult times. 6. Upon the wicked, He will rain coals, fire and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. Impenitent sinners should not think that the good times they are experiencing indicate that all is well between them and God, because it is not. Fire, brimstone, and burning is what they will experience unless they change their ways. 7. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. The Lord is righteous. And here you see why God cannot let people who are wicked get away with their sin. He can't. It's because He is righteous and He loves righteousness. Psalm 12, verse 1. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. David felt like he was the last person alive who cared about truth and cared about what was right. It's easy to feel that way. It is easy to feel that way if you're around ungodly people all day, especially. 2. They speak idly, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart they speak. Yeah. Those who speak nice to a person's face and then slander them behind their back are some of the ungodly that verse 1 refers to. And actually, they're cowards. 3. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Some arrogant people think that they can say what they want to say, whether it is true or not, and they will not be held accountable for their words. Their lips are their own, they say. But you know what? That's not exactly true. The Lord of the universe will judge their words someday. 5. For the oppression of the poor, for the sign of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he yearns. Being godly in an ungodly world can seem like a lost cause. It is important, therefore, to remember words like the ones God speaks here in verse 5, because they assure us that it will be worth it in the end. 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. It is as if God is saying every word of Scripture went through 7 filters before I allowed it to become a part of my book. This verse has always blessed me. You know, the Word of God is pure right from the beginning. But then God, as if to assure us, says, I put it through 7 filters before I allow it to become a part of the Creator's book. 7. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. And that's talking about the Word of God. You shall keep it, Lord. God's Word does not change. God preserves it. It is what it is. You can count on the Word of God. It will not cease to be truth at some point in the future. From generation to generation, God's Word is God's Word. Verse 8. The wicked prowl on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. When God's standards of right and wrong are not respected, wicked people crawl out of their holes like spiritual cockroaches. In other words, when sin is acceptable, sinners flaunt their sin. Psalm 13, verse 1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Seems as if God left town, and sure seems as if he's not talking to David during these rough times. And as a result, David started looking to himself for answers. He talks about taking counsel in his own soul. And so God was quiet. And David didn't like that. But always remember this. God's quietness is never God being totally silent. God's quietness is God telling us to keep on living for Him, keep on doing what is right, and keep on trusting Him. 3. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. In other words, Lord, show me something. Talk to me, please. David is looking for God's will. He doesn't realize that he is in God's will. He is praying. He's in God's will. See? God was using his quietness to get David to pray. David's searching for God's will. He wants to hear from God. He's in God's will. He's praying because God is being silent. He's doing exactly what God wants him to do. 5. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. David started this prayer all discouraged. But because he prayed, he has turned the corner. His prayer to God has encouraged him. And the exercise of praying does great things for our spirit. Verse 6, I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Now, David's situation hasn't changed since his prayer began back in verse 1. But because he prayed, his faith has increased. And his joy returned, in spite of the fact that his circumstances have not changed. Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. God says, if you don't believe in me, you're a fool. Anyone with half a brain will look at creation and conclude that there has to be a designer, and there has to be a creator. You've got to work real hard at becoming an atheist. And then God describes that type of person in the last part of verse 1. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. In other words, people who do not believe in God will also be morally corrupt in one way or another. After all, if I don't believe in God, then I'm not accountable to anyone for how I live. 2. the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. God is pictured as looking to see if anyone of their own free will, apart from the drawing power of the Holy Spirit, is making a move toward Him. But they aren't. There's none. 3, they have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. God says all people are rotten to the core. Rotten with sin. So you're not helping my self-esteem much. Well, that's what God says. You know, self-esteem is a lie. People search for self-esteem, and if they find it, they find a lie. They've made it up because there's nothing inherent in man to esteem. We are all rotten with sin. Every human being is in desperate need of the Savior, Jesus Christ. 4. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call on the Lord? To those who sin and never repent, to those who give godly people a hard time, God says, have you no knowledge? In other words, you should know better than to do something like that. Verse 5. There they are in great fear, for God is with the generation of the righteous. David, with the help of the Holy Spirit, looks down through time. He is seeing Judgment Day, and he is seeing the terror of those who have opposed God. There they are in great fear. Verse 6, you shame the counsel of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. Wicked people may abuse the vulnerable and rob them of happiness, but they will not succeed forever because God will give his people the desires of their heart in the end. It may take a while, but God will fulfill the dreams of the righteous. 7. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord brings back the captivity of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. David says, I wish the time for God to rescue his people from those who are hurting them was right now. I wish that time was right now. But David certainly is praying for it, and made me think once again how hard times, they are causing David to pray fervently, and hunger is to food what hard times are to prayer. Hunger makes you eat. Afflictions make you pray. So bless the Lord for good times, and bless him even for bad times, because he uses them both. And Father, we thank you for your word. Help us to apply your word to our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Until next time, Michael Moret here. So long, everyone.